that I'm willing to stand here and tell you to your face that He is the only God that I will serve.
Thank you for tuning in to Victory Outreach North, New Jersey podcast. We bring greetings from our pastors, Pastor Wayne and Sister Nellie Osborne. We hope and pray that you will be envisioned, empowered, and equipped by the Word of God. We hope you enjoy.
And it's still and this chapter really is one of the stories of the Bible that many people have heard about, read about. You know, it's called the fiery furnace. It's a time when, you know, the world was really run by a madman. Amen. But I want to look at it because I really believe that it brings out some things that we can see. Not only in this day, and not only at that time, but also in this day and age. Somebody say amen. All right, I want to look at it once again, and look at verse 4, and I want you to see. It says, the herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre and the psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Okay, now let me kind of catch you up, you know, because we went somewhere a little bit. What's going on is that here the children of Israel is in a place called Babylon. Not the movie, but a real live place called Babylon. And it's ran by a man called Nebuchadnezzar, a king, a crazy king. And he has made himself a statue of himself. And I'm not talking about just a little statue. The word says that this statue was 90 feet tall. Now, for those that don't know, that's about as big as a building. I'm talking about not a small building, neither. I'm talking about one that's probably downtown area, not even your residential area. I'm talking about, you know, this thing was probably as big as project buildings. You know how big they are. 90 feet tall. And it says it was a statue of him. And not only he built a statue, but he says an edict went out, a command went out, that whenever you hear the music begin to play. And it's very important you understand and that you catch that. He says, as soon as you hear the music, you are to bow down and worship the gold statue. Remember that. Now, I want you to turn with me real quickly to Thessalonians. We're going to do a little bit of reading today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians. I want you to turn there with me real quick. And I want to look at chapter 2. It talks about the great apostasy, or it's talking about the, as they say, the Antichrist, the one who will come in Satan's image, the Antichrist. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, and they're talking about the rapture. Has anybody ever heard about the rapture before?
Amen.
The rapture is a prophetic thing that is going to take place, that where Jesus Christ comes back and he takes his church.
Come on.
Now, for those that know that don't believe it or don't realize it, it is true. And it talks about it right here. It says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is New Testament. This is after Christ had gone and went to heaven. So he's talking about the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, we ask, not to be shaken in mind troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. He's trying to let you know, listen, he has not come back yet. Because some people say, oh, well, Christ already came back. My wife was sharing me the other day, I met a man on a train who was a Jew. And they were talking, and he was saying, the only difference between us and you, meaning a Christian, is Jesus Christ. And she brought up, she says, yeah, you guys are still waiting for the Messiah, right? I said, oh, she's been taking her baby. And he said, that's right. The Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. Okay? Now, it says, do not be shaken or troubled either by spirit or word, by letter, as it is from us, as though the day had already come. Let no one deceive you by any means. Listen, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, or in other words, the son of perdition, meaning the Antichrist. Listen, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So there will be a man that will come, known as the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the son of Satan, however you want to call him. And it says when he comes, he will want people to worship him. Following me? Almost like Nebuchadnezzar. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? He built a humongous statue and he said, when you hear the music, everybody of all nations and tongues and languages, you are to bow and worship me. Now, I want you to look one more in verse 9. Talking about the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the work of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Now listen to this. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason, God will give them over to deception, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. What does that say? It says when the son of perdition, when the Antichrist comes, it says he will come with signs, wonders, and it says, and deception. Mm-hmm. Signs, wonders, and deception. And the Bible also states, those who do not believe the truth, it says God will allow them to believe the lie. Because they did not want to believe God's word, because they would not believe the truth of God's word, he says God gave them over to believe the lie. So you got to understand, the thing about deception is that that's the very thing. It is a lie, but it looks like the truth. Amen. Deception is a lie. A straight out lie is not real. It's fried ice cream. Yep. But you will believe it is the truth. You will believe. Have anyone ever talked to their children before? Mm. And have ever tried to tell them something they don't know? But they swear up and down, they know. I know. Come on now, I know all y'all been there before. I got two daughters and they know everything. Huh? And the oldest one know more than the youngest one. Well, the youngest one know more than the oldest one. They know everything. Yep. And there's times when I tell them, listen, I know what I'm talking about, sweetheart. Listen, I know. No, Poppy, you wrong. No, you don't know, Poppy. No, they will swear they know. And then I just got to say, all right, find out for yourself. How many know what I'm talking about? There are times when you will swear up and down that the lie is the truth. Mm-hmm. No, but Poppy, you don't know. I know, Poppy, I know. But the Bible says that because they did not believe God's truth, because they did not accept, you know, there are people that say, yeah, I know it's in the Bible, but, yeah, I know that that's what God's word said, but you know, that was written 2,000 years ago. That ain't for today. Come on now. It says, because you did not receive the love of God's word that you might be saved, he said, for that very reason, I'm going to allow you to believe the lie. You're going to think it's the truth. Now I'm going to turn to one more scripture, then we're going to go back. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation. Don't go. Revelation chapter 13. I've been telling y'all, get your Bibles, get your Bibles, get your Bibles. It's back to school.
Amen.
Come on, now, it's back to school. You got your kids, all the notepads and pencils and pens. Get yourself a Bible while you're there. Amen? I want to read Revelation chapter 13, and I want to begin there in verse 11. It says, then I saw another beast coming from out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. It says he exercised all the authority of the first priest in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. It says, verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Verse 14 says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs which he has been granted to do in the sight of the beast. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image. We heard that before, right? This is Revelation. This is talking about things to come. Remember I said that Daniel was a prophetic book. It not only spoke about what was, but it speaks about what will be also. Here, Revelation is confirming Daniel that what was done then will happen again. Let's go back. It says it again. I'm going to read it to you again. Verse 14, it says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by signs which have been granted to him in the sight of the beast, telling all those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Verse 15 says, and he was given granted power to give breath to the beast that the image would speak and that it would cause many, and that it would cause as many as were not to worship the image of the beast. What is that?
To be killed.
Say it again.
To be killed.
The same thing Nebuchadnezzar did. For anyone that who does not worship me shall be killed. Same thing Nebuchadnezzar told all the people of the land. When you see the image and you hear the what?
Music.
Let's go back. Because that's very important to that. Just, if you want to read the rest of it, I really encourage you, because the next verse starts talking about the mark of the beast. And when I tell you it's more nearer than you think, believe me when I tell you, it's more nearer than you think. Okay, but let's go back to Daniel. Chapter 3. When you have it, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, he says here, the herald cried out, to you it is commanded, people and nations and language, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. I don't know if you noticed that we are living in a very technical world. I mean, and it grows every day, faster and faster. Technology is just moving at an all-time speed. Let me ask, who in here owns an iPhone? Something has taken place these last couple of days that has never, ever happened before. If you own an iPhone, there was a whole album that was downloaded on your iPhone without you even giving it a thought.
Automatically.
There's a group, what they call?
YouTube.
The letter U and the number 2, YouTube. And they gave any iPhone carrier a whole album. Now, free is free, that's cool. But the unique thing that happened was you didn't even ask for it. You didn't even ask for it. It was put on your phone. Now, how many know that we live in a very, very, let me kind of show you what I mean. My phone lifestyle. Let me see, how many got your phone on right now?
Amen.
Come on, all right, let y'all know. How many, lift your phones up. Now, let's see, how many of you got? Because I'm looking to see 100% participation right now. Come on. Everybody got their phone. Lift them up. Look around. Look around. Come on. Some of y'all don't be ashamed. Lift. Everybody got a phone. Look. Lift them up. That's darn near almost 90% of the church.
Even kids. Even babies.
Got their phone. Now you know what I'm talking about. You walk around society nowadays. You walk anywhere you go. This is what you see.
Homeless people got phones.
People get ran over by cars. You know what I'm talking about? People missing buses. You know what I'm talking about? People bumping into each other. People having. I was with my guys the other day, and I said, look at how many people driving is on the phone. I said, look out the window. Just look at when you're driving. Just look out the window. How many people like this?
My God.
That is very scary.
Because,
yeah. I mean, they be in it. I'm like, you ain't even looking at the road. I want to roll my window down and throw something at them.
Wait.
What is wrong with you, lady? I mean, in it.
Texting,
talking. I mean, on it.
Yeah.
These phones have become a serious part of everybody's life. You know it and I know it. People ain't talking about it. People ain't really making mention of it. But listen, when I was coming up, if you had a beeper,
yeah,
you was bad.
Hey.
I don't give away my age, but yo, come on. A beeper, you was bad. If you had two, you was bad. You must be the big guy on the block. You had two people.
The light green.
They came out with the phones. Them jokers was big back in the day. Y'all remember them big old phones with the big rubber thing? You know, you had to strap the whole that thing. But you was the man if you had that. Nowadays, everybody, I'm talking everybody, got a phone. Even homeless people.
Yep.
They got their, what they call them, the Obama phone. Now the government, give you a phone. I'm saying, you want another one? Sure, man, got two. Take three, we don't care. A lot of people got three or four Obama phones. We don't get them. Government giving them away. Give me one. Everybody got a phone. Now, it says, now, I'm joking, but listen to me. Because it was very important you see how this went down. Very important you see how the worship of the beast. That's what I'm going to put it. The worship of the beast, how it went down. It says, when you hear the sound of music, when all nations, when all kingdoms, when all peoples hear the sound of music, they are to bow down and worship the beast. Now I ask you, in this day and age, and in the busyness of people, the multitude of people, there are 7 billion people in this world. 7 billion people scattered. You got to remember, this was a day and age where everybody was pretty much in the same neighborhood. When he said all nations, all kings, all languages, all y'all gather to worship the statue, he was talking about pretty much a nation that was to gather together. If you ever look at the earth, if you ever look at the geographical form and shape of the earth, we have now, what, 7 continents, right?
Amen.
My geography, right?
Amen.
Where's the 5th grader at? We got 7 continents, but they're spread all over the place, right? But if you look careful, it looks like a puzzle. It looks like, when you look at it, you realize that, you know what, this piece fits here. When you look at Africa and you look at South America, they look like 2 pieces of a puzzle that could fit together. Because at one time, all the earth was one land. It was one land. It wasn't until the time of ages and earthquakes and all these different things began to break up the land, and so it spread all over. But at one time, we all were in one area. So the idea of having all the peoples gathered together to worship the beast was not that difficult. But now let's fast forward to 2014. There's people everywhere, cities, countries, you know, there's people scattered all over the earth. How are we going to get everybody on the face of the earth to all worship the beast at one time?
Come on, Pastor.
I don't know. That's a hard thing to do. How do we get everybody to come together as one? And let me go a little step further. What is the one thing that seems to be universal?
Internet.
Meaning it don't matter what language, what culture, what background. What's the one thing that everybody has? And everybody can listen to. Oh, that's right here. Go right here.
Wow.
That's scary, isn't it?
Connected.
That's scary. I want to read to you an excerpt about a few people that talked about music. It says that one of the really fascinating things about music is that it's technically, in a very literal way, it doesn't exist. A painting, a sculpture, a photograph is physically existing. But music is just air hitting the eardrum in a slightly different way than it would randomly do. If you are an alien trying to define music, you would define it as humans manipulating the air with molecules and how it hits the eardrum. Somehow that air, which has almost no substance whatsoever, when moved and when made to hit the eardrum in a subtle way, can make people dance, it can make people cry, it can make you have sex, it can move across the country. It can even make you go to war. He said, literally, music can make you go to war. Now, I don't see that. That's not too strange. Because I grew up in the age of hip-hop.
Right. Come on.
Mm. I'm a hip-hop baby. That's all I knew. That's it. I mean, from a very young age, I was glued, you know what I'm saying, to the radio, because hip-hop was the new thing. And I grew up listening to hip-hop, and I'm going to tell you, the right song, huh? But a little something in you will make you smack your mom. You think I'm playing? The music nowadays, I mean, in the beginning it was kind of cool, you know, even though, you know, he told me, mama said knock you out, so if she said I gotta do it. But, you know, the music nowadays, listen, there was one artist that said when he drops his album, the crime rate goes up. And he wasn't playing. Music will make you go to war. Music will make you want to fight. The right type of music. It goes on, it says, it's remarkable that something so subtle can have a profound emotional reaction. I'm going to read another authority. It says, on the impact music has on a species, it says, the same degree as literacy and language has, it has changed the way people see the world. Period. He says, just like literacy and just like language. Remember I said that when Nebuchadnezzar took over the people of Israel, is that the first thing he did, he says, listen, teach them a new language. First thing the enemy did was tell them, teach them a new language. Then he said, have them read our books. He was changing the culture. That was chapter 1. Chapter 3, not too long afterwards, he says, play music for them. Play music. You know, you and I know, I've talked about it many times, and you read it, and it's amazing, you know, how it's hard to get away of the impact that music has. Listen, I know people that have left God over music. Most of them are young. That say, listen, if my, you ain't gonna let me listen to my hip hop, if you ain't gonna let me listen to my music, then you know what? I'm just gonna stop going to church. I don't know about you parents, but I have a hard time fighting my children about the music they listen to. A hard time. My daughter, she knows all the songs. I mean, it's amazing how you try to teach them scripture. I don't understand that. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to read a book. And then the song comes up, and you know, have you heard? Wait a minute. You don't like school. You don't like reading. But a song comes on. You know every word to the song. If there ever is a vehicle that the devil knows that they can use to get the attention of people, it's the vehicle of music. It's the vehicle. And not only is it something that I'm saying, but the word of God has written it. It says, when they was ready to get the people to worship the beast, they said, let's play music. Let's play music. Think about that for me. Now, I want to continue on this furnace. Now, the story goes on, and I'm not going to read it all. I mean, maybe I should. We need to learn the word of God, shouldn't we?
Amen.
It says, I'm going to read it real quickly. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I want to read so you can understand what's taking place. It says, in verse 8, go down to verse 8 with me, okay? It says, at that certain time, Chaldeans came forward and they accused the Jews. It says, they spoke and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. O king, you have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound, and I'm going to jump a little bit, of all kinds of music, they must bow down and worship the gold image. Verse 11 says, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the fiery furnace. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of Babylon by mentioning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due to your regard. They do not serve your gods, or do they worship the gold image which you have set up. It says King Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury. He didn't like that. What do you mean? You ain't listening to my music? You don't like my song? Oh, you ain't gonna bow down to my gold image? You know, it's funny how it says a gold image. Gold. Because you know what gold signifies, right? Money. So it says, you're not gonna worship the dollar bill? You're not gonna worship my music and money? Oh, we got a problem with you. And see, I made mention of that because I need you to look at yourself. And I want you to ask yourself, do I find myself worshiping these things? See, the day and the age has not yet come where all men will be called to worship these idols. But surely preparation is ahead. Surely the enemy is preparing for that time when everyone will be called to worship and bow down to the beast. Surely already music is being penetrated to every person. Forget your mother turning the TV off. Forget your mother turning the radio off. You got your own phone with your own music. And you can listen to it when you want to. See, it used to be a thing where, you know, parents can control what was played and what was done, but no longer. It's getting real hard for you to control these things. They have the power in their own hands. The power in their own hands to listen to whatever they want to listen to and do whatever they... And so you got to understand, it says that they fell down to the sound of music and worship the idol. It says, but there was three young people. And I want you to make mention, they were young people. It says, Nebuchadnezzar became in a furious rage. Bring these young people to me. He says, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And that you are not ready at a time to hear the sound of my music and fall down and worship the image which I have made? It says, but if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you? You know, we live in a day and age, and I think young people could testify where we know the God that we talk about in church. We know the God that we read about in the Bible. We know the God that we find amongst one another. But there's a hesitancy to believe that the God that we serve in here has the power out there. Mm. Oh, no. Oh, but Mom, Pop, you don't go to my school. You don't understand. You ain't cool if you ain't listening to these songs. You ain't cool if you don't know these artists. If you're not affiliated with everybody singing that song and you don't know that song. My God. I feel like an outcast. I feel like I don't belong if I'm not a part of that culture. That culture. The latest songs, the latest artists. If I don't know about them, if I don't listen to their music and I'm amongst my friends, they look at me strangely. What type of music you listening to? Wow. I listen to Christian music. You know what I'm talking about. You know the struggle you have. Sometimes you in your car, you popping through the stations, and you come across Hot 97. Yeah, that's all. You're like, give it away. I don't listen to it. Huh? Because that music sounds good. Oh, don't get the thoughts. I got holy on me now. I don't know what you're talking about. Christian music all day and night. 99.1. That music sounds good. That music is tempting. It draws you in. There's a certain drawing about that music. What is it about that music? You ever ask yourself, what is it that draws me in? That listen, there are some that you can't wake up without plugging in the headphones and turning that music on. You can't go to sleep without listening to your favorite song or popping on the headphones. You know what I'm talking about, young people. Some of us that still young in spirit, you feel the same way. Music gets you going. Come on now. You are moved by good music. You're moved by music. Nebuchadnezzar said, what, you don't like my music? Shadrach, Abednego, and as I say, a bad Negro. He said, don't you know if you don't listen to my music, you will be thrown into the fire? If you don't bow down and worship me, you will be thrown into the fire? See, this is where it gets sticky. Because we, as a people, we don't think, why nobody throw me in the furnace? Without a fight, at least. But you don't understand that the funerary fire represents something more symbolic. It represents something more than just, it's talking about him. It's talking about a hell. Here on earth. You know, a lot of people, when we talk to them about heaven and earth and hell, they say, I'm already living in hell. I'm already going through the fire. They talk about, you know, even in the music industry, they talk about a thing of passing through the fire. Passing through the fire means that you must be born again. You know, they even have symbolisms that in the world. That there's certain entertainers that have passed through the fire, and now all of a sudden, they're the most famous people on earth. You know the devil has church, right?
Amen.
You know that, right?
Amen.
I know some of y'all don't believe that. You know, when I tell people this story all the time. When we first started having church here, there was a gentleman that came in one day. Pastor Penn probably remember. We were setting up the tables, right? And he came in, a Caucasian guy, and he had two women with him. And, you know, real suited up, you know, professional looking guy. And he says, oh, so, you know, you over all this? I says, yeah, I'm the pastor. He says, oh, you know, we started here. I says, oh, that's nice. And so he's walking around, he's got two women with him, right? And they're not smiling, nothing. I mean, not nothing. I look at him, how you doing? They don't even answer me. They just sitting there looking, right? So he's walking around, he's looking, he says, I like your table. You know, nicely laid out. He says, get, you know, pick one of everything from that table. They have notebooks and they're writing down everything, following them out. So we go sit down right over there with Hosea. He says, let me ask you a question. He said, if I told you I do what you do every Sunday, people come together, we get together, and, you know, I speak to them, and, you know, it's just like what you do, but it ain't church. What would you think I am? Church, literally, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I felt like I was talking to Satan himself.
Oh, my God.
The hair on the back of my neck stood up. I said, I don't know. I don't even want to go there. I said, I don't know. And he laughed. And he never told me what he done. So he pulled out his card. He said, look, if you ever need anything, you know, look me up. I said, okay. So he left. I'm not going to tell you who it was because you'll know who he was. He's a very prominent figure in the North Ward. I just put it like that. A very well-known, very powerful figure in the North Ward. But I'm saying all that to say that, you know, we don't realize the forces we deal with out there. Like Juan said, we're going to come into a season, Halloween season. This is the devil's high and holy days. This is his time when children will be sacrificed. Children will be sacrificed. They will be thrown into the fire. Like then, like now. He told them, if you don't worship me, you will be thrown into the fire. But see, this is where you gotta catch it, because these are young people. These are not old people. These ain't not theologians. These ain't people that have been serving God all their life. These are young people. But they have a faith in their God. They have a confidence, an ownership about who they serve. Now he knows that, listen, I'm going against the devil himself. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, the beast himself is telling me, if you don't bow down and worship me, you will be thrown into the fire. You're talking about peer pressure. You're talking about, there's a lot of us, we feel sometimes that pressure. If you don't bend and you don't adapt to the culture of this world, if you don't do what everybody's doing, if you don't do what is popular, everybody's doing it. Look, everybody. The music plays, they bow down and they worship me. Everybody's doing it. What's wrong with you? Young people. Young people. You know, it's funny how the devil goes after young people. You know why he can go after the young people? Young people are fearless. That's one thing I learned. Young people are fearless. Why do you think the government recruits young people? Okay, young boy, here, put a gun in your hand and sing over there and fight them insurgents. Insurgents? I still ain't never figured out what an insurgent was. It was a fancy way to say we're killing people in another country. But they'll do it. In the name of the country, they'll do it. Hey, give me the gun. Yeah, I'll go. Young people feel us like that. Yeah. You know that. Go out there on the corner. We did some rallies the other day. Drug dealers don't care. They will get in your face. They feel us. Ain't afraid of nothing. They was afraid of us that day. Because the Spirit of God was something they didn't know about.
Hallelujah.
Huh? But they was baffled. They were like, people don't do that. I mean, they had that block locked down.
Yep.
And they knew it. They knew cops don't even come on that corner. But we showed up there with our little mics,
Amen.
And we showed up there with our little flyers, and we even had some of the kids with us. Come on, man, you was with us. And we started testifying about how good God was. We said, we'd like to thank you for coming to church today, and we're going to buy you, and we started preaching Jesus, and all of a sudden it was like, I got to get out of here. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
But let it be anybody else. And I know you know. You got to get up out of here. This is where we make our money.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we worship our gods.
Amen.
I went to one. He says, well, I'm a Muslim.
Mm.
I said, well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Looked at us like we was crazy. Listen. Young people, when given the right stuff, that's why, listen, the gang is so important. when they are given the right stuff at the right age and the pure gospel of Jesus Christ will stand against anyone, anybody, anything. This is why as young parents, you've got to get your kids indoctrinated. You cannot play with this thing. You think, oh, well, you don't want to go to church today. I understand. You know, sometimes I don't want to go to church too. No, you got to listen. No, you go to church because, listen to me, I don't want you falling to the devil and the beast out there. You're going to learn how to fight. Literally, this is a training ground. This just ain't a casual gather. This is training ground. This is where they learn to stand their ground in order to fight the enemy. To be able to say no. If you want your children to be punked, then let them go out there in that world by itself without no arsenal. Without nothing to stand on. Without nothing to fight with. And I guarantee you, they'll belong to the enemy's camp. You think your children that smart, that bold, that slick? No, they ain't. The enemy is stronger. He is stronger. He is good at what he does. And the only way you're going to equip your children with the right stuff is to give them the right God that will give them the heart, the courage, the strength, the zeal to do what these kids did. I'm going to close right here. Let the keyboard come up.
Thank you, Lord.
These are some powerful words. I'm going to read them to you. This is what these young people say. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we have an answer for you. They didn't hesitate. They didn't say, no, we got to go pray. They didn't say, no, we'll talk about it. They didn't say, no, let's go talk to Daniel. They said, no, King.